Let's just do this. It's a News Corner to me. Good morning. It's 9:50 already. Where has the day gone? Well, I know where the day's gone. 9:50 on February 1st, brand new month. Third day of the week. Wednesday. Wednesday. Whatever that, however that, I don't know how Wednesday originated. I've got some friends that probably know how that's how that whole thing started. We have a big show today. I have no plans, just a lot of rambling. So this is going to be a rambling show from the guy who's not a doctor or a lawyer or an epidemiologist or a virologist, financial counselor, life coach. The list goes on and on. I do know what's in my cup though this morning. I have that's all planned out. I have some sweet tea with some actual peach nectar in it. So it is a peach sweet tea with real peach nectar in there. The only thing it's missing is a peach. It's the next best thing. Remember the day, back in the day when I was a kid? And you go to Olive Garden and you got the peach tea. I think it was called Bellini. Peach Bellini tea. Now it's peach raspberry, which is mostly just raspberry. I'm pretty sure it's just a, they don't make peach tea there anymore. It used to come with peaches in the glass. There used to be like one or two peaches in there all the time. That was peach tea. They stopped doing that. Now it's just a processed thing, I think, from Coca-Cola or Pepsi or who knows what kind of processed tea. Probably get it from the 7-Eleven, just dump it in there in the bottle, the plastic bottles. Anyway, so I have this peach tea here. That's what I've got. Homemade. It's not homemade tea. That would be even better if I made some. Now, this summer, I'm going to be doing that. I get this summer again. I'm going to be making my own tea, my own sweet tea, brew it myself, and I'm going to put this peach nectar in there. And my shows are going to increase in value at that point because the content will get much better. All right, so I have, there was a lot of stuff yesterday I kind of wanted to cover, and I have it kind of on the surface of my mind, which hopefully won't just slip off because my brain is pretty much made out of Teflon. Things just slip right off of it. But I do have a lot of things to talk about. The whole document thing, we'll get into that a little bit again. There's some other stuff happening. Apparently something has happened with the whole Carrie Lake thing. Now, I guess Katie Hobbs has gone after Carrie Lake out in Arizona. She's asked because Carrie Lake had some bombshell stuff about the election fraud stuff. She basically wanted her to, she told the judge basically to not allow any cases. I don't know what it was. She's pushing her weight around out there, which in my opinion is just, holy cow. Now you've got this whole thing that we had yesterday, we were talking about with Jim Jordan and the passionate fervor with which Todd, what's his name? Chuck Todd. He ended up going after, Trump used to call him Upchuck Todd. Kind of funny. The Republicans have formed some committees. And they're going after a lot of corruption. Well, in the process of doing this, as you might know, as you might be aware, we have some issues with the Democrats right now. They're whining and crying and complaining and resigning from things, going all over the place. It's all over the place. First, you've got, the squad, Ilhan Omar. Boy, I wish I could find a clip. She says the word Constitution. You can't imagine the way my stomach turns when I hear her, I heard her say something about how she was concerned about the Constitution. The word actually came as it was coming out of her mouth. I had a physical reaction. I can't explain it. My whole body twitched. And I don't even know what came out of my mouth. I said something, but I don't know what it was. It was like a convulsion I had when she said the word Constitution. You can tell she didn't even like saying the word, but she was saying it as if she cared about it. I wish I could find the clip because I was listening to someone else's video, and when I heard it, I if I could remember where it was, I would go back and find it for you. But I don't remember where it's at. But oh my goodness. This is a woman who hates this country. Have you ever heard her say, "I love the USA. I love this country and what it stands for. I love the fact that they took me in from Somalia, got me out of that hellhole. I feel so privileged to be here. It's an honor. And I'm grateful that you took me in." When has she ever said that? Never. When has Barack Obama, the Christian, the great conversion from Islam, ever stood up and said, "I thank my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ"? Oh yeah, it happens all the time. He's a huge man of faith. These people are phonies to the core. Political theater. That's what we're surrounded with. Well, I guess I'm a little worked up this morning. This peach tea is apparently seeped into something in my brain. This whole thing with the Trump documents, for example. How on earth, how disingenuous, how ridiculous they have been with this whole thing. I know I talked a little bit about yesterday about Chuck Todd and the whole Chinese thing. So Chuck Todd was all upset with Jim Jordan because he wasn't concerned about Donald Trump's possible nefarious activity with China. This is the guy that they claim is xenophobic, hates the Chinese. He's racist. But he wants to do deals with them, with this top secret information that he has locked in a padlocked room in Mar-a-Lago. He's going to secretly go out and help them because, you know, that's what racists do. Because he's a hypocritical racist. I just don't get it. I don't understand how they can speak out of both sides of their mouth and they don't even realize they're doing it. They are so deranged, and it's not just derangement, it's hysterical derangement. They can't even spit straight. Now, I know it's tough to spit straight. I've tried. And you never know where things are going to go. You're jogging along and you get that loogie worked up in your throat. And you're aiming for something. You know, let it fly. But it doesn't always go there. That's probably making some of you gag right now, which is kind of funny. You know, it's I'm just drinking peach tea. It's just, just a part of nature. It's what we do. Animals do it. They spit up and hack and gag. They do it. Natural part of life. We have some interesting stuff happening, though. Let me look at some of the headlines. I know there were some things in the headlines I saw this morning. Let's see if I can find some of this stuff. I probably can't. Oh, yeah, classified document. Yeah, that was good. Let's see. What do we got here? Let's look at the thing here. There were some interesting things. Have you seen the video of Joe Biden coming out? I think he was coming out of the White House, heading off to Marine One, the helicopter, to go somewhere because, he's got to talk about climate change. So he's got to burn all this helicopter fuel. He's got to run around to check out. They should try to check the helicopter for paperwork, for documents. What else we have here? There was something on here. Gun control. The CDC is getting involved with gun control. This was on Facts Matter with Roman Bumakoff. Otherwise known as, he's a part of the Epic Times. This guy, he did this little expose, little thing on the CDC's involvement now in gun control. And he put some dots, he connected some dots that I think are very important to realize. You know how they always talk about the science? The science. Science. You can't argue with science.
I am science. So you can't argue. I'm science.
Science. You can't argue. Well, you're anti-science. Oh, really? You haven't got a single paper. You haven't got a single peer-reviewed study that tells you you're just making stuff up. We're just supposed to take it because we're supposed to shove it down our throats because it's science. And then you change it the next week. Well, that's different science. Our science is evolving. We believe in evolution. And science is evolving. It's our current science now. But you said last week I was a criminal and I was endangering people and killing people because of what I was saying. And now you're saying that was the right thing. So now you're saying, there you go again. You're killing people again because you're arguing with me. That's how ridiculous this stuff is. So they're coming out with it was a study that the left and right agreed with, and that's the CDC agreed with, and a couple different studies. I can't remember the name of the study. Wish I could. It was kind of a weird name. The guy had a weird name. And it was accepted for years, for decades. The numbers of people who every year who protected themselves by using a firearm. This included police, by the way. I think the study included police. Now, I'm not sure that Roman Bumakoff actually mentioned that in his study, in his report. But I think you have to realize that the number was over 2 million. It was 2.2 million on average per year over the course of a 5-year study. And every time that they would go through the study, they would always, this number would always be pretty much accurate. It was over 2 million. It was anywhere between 1.8 and 2.2 million per year. Now, the way they would quantify this, and this is probably not even, it's probably more than that. Because the way they would quantify this is even if someone, let's say someone approached you to rob you, and you opened your jacket to show them you were armed, and you reached for your gun, and they ran away. That's all it took. You didn't have to unholster the thing. This isn't using a gun as in shooting the gun. This is just because of the gun, a robbery or violent attack was thwarted. Over 2 million times a year on average. Now, along comes the CDC. They have someone involved now in forming new reports. And they're looking at the science, calling it the science of gun control. guess what? Now, the numbers, you know, with those kinds of numbers, you can hardly argue that, well, gun control, maybe we should, you know, maybe people should be allowed to have guns because they're protecting themselves with them. 2 million times a year. Now, there's like 110 million households in the country. 110 to 115 million. I can't remember what the actual number is. But it's up there. It's over a little over 100 million households. So basically about 2% of the American households are every year protecting themselves with a firearm. Now, this may not be home invasions. It may not be robberies at home. It could be, you know, but wherever you go, you're in your abide. You're, you know, these are family, let's say family units, someone within the family unit. So basically 2% of the population is protecting home, house, family, whatever it is, property, life, every year. Over the course of their lifetime, that means someone probably will, you know, there'll be those who protect themselves twice, but there'll be two people out of every 100, whatever that is. What does that work out to? 2% of the population. Over the course of 50 years, you will probably use your sidearm or could have used your sidearm to protect yourself. Now, the CDC is changing this, and they're calling it the science of gun control. They're changing the numbers. They're rearranging. This is the way they can change definitions of a vaccine. I just heard this the other day. This is the same kind of thing they did with the vaccine. Now, on a side note, don't let me lose my track here. You got to remind me what I was talking about with this gun control thing. On a side note, I heard someone the other day state, and this was a recording of someone who said something back when they were getting the vaccines, and they were all over the vaccines, talking about the vaccine mandates. The statement was, and you have to realize how stupid this statement is when you back up and listen to it. Well, we need to, people who are vaccinated need to be protected from those who are unvaccinated because they need to be because they're walking into work unvaccinated. They're endangering people who are vaccinated. Wait, what? What's the purpose of the vaccine if it doesn't protect you from the virus? Which is the whole point of this whole thing. It doesn't protect you from the virus. You still get it. But it reduces your symptoms. Well, then what are you worried about if you're vaccinated? Is it JP? CK? What is it? It's not CK. It's J. What's the guy's name? I'm gonna see if I can find this guy. He did a perfect piece. Comedian JP. JP Sears. Here it is. Why life jackets should be mandatory. This is a perfect, perfect example. It's about a 5-minute long thing. I think that, but maybe it's about 5 minutes. This other one is 7 minutes. Yeah, the full one is about 7 minutes. Here's one that's 4 minutes long. I think it's the same deal. But he talks, he's got a thumbnail in this one where he's wearing two life jackets. Science. It's got a big thing that says science on it. He's talking about masks and vaccines. It's a whole thing, but he's talking about the life jacket thing. He's talking about how a person's saying, you need to wear your life jacket. We said, why? Because you're supposed to wear it. It's mandatory. Well, what do you care? I don't want to wear my life jacket. Well, the guy goes, well, because you're like, I'm wearing a life jacket, but if you don't wear a life jacket, my life jacket won't work. And it's brilliant because it doesn't get censored. He's talking about life jackets. Yeah, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff. If it works, then Why are what do you care?
Well, because you don't you care about your grandma?
Yeah, well, she can get a vaccine if she wants one.
But you're spreading the virus.
I think we played the audio several times here where a vaccinated person, now, of course, he makes the distinction,
in certain breakthrough cases, a vaccinated person will have the same viral load in their nasal thorax as a person who's unvaccinated.
So they're going to spread it just like everybody else. Vaccinated or not. Life jacket or not. And the dirty little secret in this whole mask thing. If everybody's wearing masks, and I'll tell you, everybody was mandatory. There was places, everybody, you know, out in public had to wear masks all the time. Had to wear a mask. Is there any quantified evidence, any quantified numbers on whether or not it slowed anything down at all? Anything. The only studies we have is that it did nothing. There's no evidence it did anything to slow anything down. Now, I'm not saying it didn't, but you can't say it did. So before you start emphatically stating and shooting other people down and calling them names, like me, get some data on this thing. Oh, sure, it makes sense. But you know what? It doesn't make sense. A virus is so small that thousands of viral particles can live, if you want to call it that, can embed themselves in one bacteria, and you have millions. You have more bacteria in your body than you have cells in your body. We're talking very small stuff here. Now, I'm not a microbiologist. I did want to be a marine biologist at one time. And then I thought about the prospect of going to college and doing all that stuff. And boy, that didn't interest me at all. At that age, I really just wanted to be a scuba diver because that was adventurous. I was going to be a commercial diver. I realized they drop like flies. They're usually down there welding on pipes and stuff crushes them and kills them all the time. And then I decided, well, I'll just be a marine biologist. And they get eaten by sharks and stung by bees and stuff, stung by like squids and stuff. Well, I'll just be a scuba instructor. They get sued by, you know, anybody that has an accident. So, I became a pilot. Not far from all those things, actually. It's, yeah. Anyway, what I should have become is a lawyer. My dad was trying to talk me into being an engineer. He only had one conversation with me about what I should be. He really never told me what to do. He never said, you know, you should do this or that. He at one point, he said, you should think about being an engineer. I think he saw something in me. He knew I liked math. I did enjoy math. I didn't like some teachers with math. Now, I got straight A's with the teacher. I felt like the teacher. Straight A's. Not a single question wrong all year long. And then if I'd get a teacher I didn't like, and it didn't even matter. It wasn't really that I didn't like the teacher. It's just I didn't like the way they taught. Nice people. Nice guy. I couldn't learn in his class. I took Algebra 1. I passed that. Took Algebra 2. I didn't make it through one semester. I said, this is not for me. I think I would have enjoyed trigonometry and all that stuff if I'd have had a teacher that would have been able to engage my serious issues with attention deficit issues. Lack of discipline is what it's called, actually. Speaking of lack of discipline and attention deficit issues, back to the CDC. They're slowly phasing in this ability to say, well, the science doesn't support the idea of someone having a gun to protect themselves. Therefore, you don't need it. We're going to ban them. This is an archaic amendment to our Constitution, archaic Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is archaic. It's a living, breathing document. Now, we're talking about muskets here. They were talking about muskets back then. The muskets were the weapon of war back then. Of course, now, supposedly, you know, this is another one of those hypocritical things that they'll say. Oh, you don't need an AR-15. AR-15 is a dangerous weapon. It'll rip, it'll blow the lungs right out of somebody. Oh, it's a high-speed weapon. It's a dangerous, it's a weapon of war. Oh, well, if you're going to come up against the government, you're going to have more than an AR-15. You're going to have an F-15. Oh, so the AR-15 is not really worth anything then. It's not really much of a weapon then. You're just saying. And now realize that when a public official makes a statement like that, think about what they're saying there. They're saying he's standing there saying, "You don't dare come up against me, or I'm going to send the military after you. I'm going to send these weapons after you." You know, the danger we have with. I'm all for the ability to, you know, use whatever technology we have to defend ourselves and not necessarily to, you know, fight proxy wars all over the country, all over the world, but to defend ourselves and have a strong military, to seek to provide justice to the world in a sense, to protect the innocent, not to be the world's police, but just to be able to provide, you know, peace through strength in the world. Now, having said that, we have more automation happening with a lot of these military weapons, more autonomy, fewer people controlling them. The one thing about our military is that it's made up of volunteers from our nation. This is kind of like local police. Now, that's not working in every location, is it? When you have the local population, or when you have the population of yourself, you know, you have a regiment of individuals made up of people from all over the country. You might have, you know, somebody from Alabama. You might have somebody from Chicago. You might have somebody from South Bend, all in a regiment. Well, let's you know, the military says, we're going to go over and attack South Bend now. We're going to crack down on them. We're going to drop some bombs over there. Well, my family lives there. See, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work very well when you have family in these places where we're attacking our own citizens. You have citizens attacking. That's not going to work. I got to follow orders. No, they won't. They won't follow those orders. Posse comitatus is one reason, but of course that's. Well, this is an emergency. Yeah. So we have. A lot of hypocrisy. On the statements that they make a lot of times. And it's the very people who make these statements. Of course, they're surrounded by people who protect them with guns. Because, you know, their lives are more important than ours. It's just total bunk, total baloney. I had this conversation with someone once. They were talking about, they were trying to figure out who they were, because they were from one of the islands. They were actually from the Bahama Islands. So they're trying to figure out if they're not really African American. Well, yeah, you kind of are, because a lot of the population from the Bahamas is, was, you know, if you know anything about the slave trade, you realize that all of the slave boats, all the boats that came from the U.S., came to the U.S., did not come from Africa. I don't believe there's any, in all the ship's logs that ever happened, there was not a direct sailing trip from Africa to the continental United States. The way I understand it, at least this is what I've been under the understanding of. I've done some. Not, I wouldn't say exhaustive research on this, but now there were ships that came from Africa through the islands, through the tropical islands, through Bahamas and the Grenadines. But they didn't come directly here. There wasn't anything that came directly to our shores. Now, that's, but they got here through, because most of the trade happened in the islands. And when all of this, so if you came from the Bahamas, you if your family was from there, they probably maybe or partially were, you know, at least mixed with folks who were African American at some point. Not African American, but African. But this person was talking about this, and so I was like, well, yeah, okay. Well, I said, what's your name? So they told me their name. I said, how many of them, how many of you are there? Like, well, I don't know. I was like, no, how many of you are there? Like you, just you. How many of you are there? Well, there's only one me. I was like, huh, so you're a minority then. Well, yeah, I'm a minority because, no, there's only one of you. You're a minority. Guess what? Guess how many of me there are? There's only one of me. I'm a minority. There's only one of every single person in this country is a minority because there's only one of us. And we're all unique. No matter what color our skin is, it has nothing to do with it. There's one of you. You are, I can't remember what their name was. I said their name. I said, you are the one person. I said, and here's the deal. You should be afforded every single right in the Constitution. Completely, 100%. But so should I. And nobody else should have special rights that makes them better than you or gives them rights or privileges over you. That's the intent of the founders.
Oh, but they were slave traders.
But they knew by putting that in there, they knew what was happening, going to happen to slavery. They knew slavery was going to go away. And the majority, the vast majority of the founders were not slave owners. Now, if you can understand that, if you can wrap your mind around that concept, you will realize that the race baiting and the racism and all the white supremacy crap, you know,
Donald Trump is a white nationalist. He's a xenophobic racist. He's an isolationist. All he wants is just everything. He doesn't want to trade with anybody. He's just all white nationalist. This, you know, one America. All this stuff is just a dog whistle for, you know, racism, making America white again.
That's why he's trading secrets with the Chinese. Yeah. And the Iranians. Yeah. Because, you know, it's just all a front. He's not really a racist. He just pretends like one so that that way he can get away with trading and helping out the Chinese as really his really good buddies.
Aren't you worried about that?
No. I love Jordan's response to it. No. Joe Biden's got documents in his garage. It doesn't even know we're there. Here's the thing. Does NARA, the National Archives Records Administration, do they even know those documents exist? They knew the documents existed that were in the Trump locked facility. The argument was, did he have a right to keep them there in this locked facility?
Well, no, they can't be in that locked facility. They have to be in this locked facility over here.
Now, I guarantee you somebody knows what documents he had and what they were concerned that he might have, and they didn't want him to have them. I guarantee you that's what the problem was.
Oh, but you can't have those documents.
And then they claim obstruction. Obstruction! 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 What? Obstruction of what exactly? Well, obstruction of, the term... They're using that short term because obstruction of justice is a crime. What exactly was Trump obstructing?
Oh, he's obstructing justice.
What crime has been committed that he's obstructing?
Why, he took documents.
He was the president. We're going through a process of legal property recruitment.
Well, he was issued a subpoena.
Yeah, well, that's what he's arguing against. You don't have to come in with guns blazing and sirens flying and waving armament and coming in with like 23 or whatever it was, 25, 60, whatever number of FBI agents that are going to now come in and then start taking pictures of stuff and leaking that all over the internet. Oh, look at all this stuff. They just strewn them all over the place and took pictures. Oh, look how reckless this guy is. No, you're the reckless one. You're the one that's posting pictures of stuff on the internet. I don't remember Trump actually, having like stuff on TikTok where, hey, look at me, I'm taking a bath in top secret documents. No, that's not what was happening here. Obstruction. Name exactly what crime that is. Obstruction. It's just a ridiculous frenzy. Like I said, it goes beyond derangement. It is a delirious, hysterical reaction to Donald Trump. But I digress. That was just a few things on the top of my head there. I just had to get off my chest. Top of my head, I had to get off my... My head is laying on my chest. I've got a weird neck. That's what it amounts to. So we have, tomorrow there's going to be a show. I was going to head down to Dallas. I thought I was going to have to drive down to Dallas this week. As it turns out, I'm not going to do that. However, I am most likely going to be, having a regular show tomorrow morning, live show on Friday. I will be hopefully having a show on Monday morning. Now, I do have a pretty full day every day of the week next week. I doubt I'm going to have a live show on Friday, is that the 10th? Doubt if it's going to happen. I was hoping it would, but I doubt it. I might try to do a live show Friday morning, but it's going to be very difficult. Hopefully I'll have a show every day next week, but it's going to be really difficult next week. So we'll see how it goes. I'm gonna have to do an evening show recorded and posted in the next day, something to that effect. So we'll see how that goes. But, in the meantime, let's look at some other things. There's some other headlines I want to look at. I even wrote some things down here on some notes. Let's see if I've got some notes here somewhere. There's no notes there. No notes there. I thought I had some notes. Where'd the notes go? Let's see what happens here. Oh, I guess not. Boy, that's kind of bizarre that those things are not there. Huh. Of course, now this is taking forever. Mike Pompeo, by the way, he's still out there trying to stay in the news. Have you noticed, I was talking about this a little bit yesterday. I don't know if you noticed. I have on YouTube, I'll play anything I play. It doesn't matter whether it's just educational stuff or, trying to figure out how to create a numbers document for, in whatever, unable to load note because of orientation. What is orientation? Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Here we go. Podcast ideas, unable to load note because podcast. What's going on here? About notability. Let's see what I got. Okay. Why can't I? Well, I don't know. I don't see any updates for it. This is weird. You would think all Apple products, all Apple applications would just work across the board from one Apple product to the next. But apparently Apple doesn't allow that. They do weird things with this stuff. And, you have to have it updated with a particular operating system in order for something else to work on from one app to the next, from one device to the next. So they require their app builders to build certain things and do certain things with their apps. And then when they do that, they can't be used on old apps. So you have to pick an older version. Well, if you use the older version, then they won't talk to each other. So if I'm on my phone working with in a little like a little notepad type. But strangely enough, Apple's products will. Like notes for Apples in Apple. It'll work across the board. But other people's apps, they don't allow that to happen. Just weird stuff like that. Of course, now I don't see Finder. Let's see here. App Store. Not really what I want to do. Updates. What do we have? No updates. No updates available. Yet it's telling me I have to update to get the app to talk to itself. So there's no way that it's just, I don't understand. Yeah. So maybe somebody can explain it to me. So I can't get to that. So now what do I do? Recent notes. Yeah, see what we got there. Podcast. No, it's not. Unable to load podcast notes. All right. Well, whatever. Poo-poo to you too. There we go. Well, I had some other things written down. I can't remember what all it was. Maybe I can pull it up on my phone. I can probably do that. So while we're talking about this, let me go back to the current events here, things that are happening. A whole bunch of live videos right now on YouTube concerning live, you know, the White House. There's some things going on with White House oversight committees. Getting back to this whole thing with Ilhan Omar and everything, all the whining and crying that's going on with them. We have, what happened to this now? That's interesting. So they're all, my understanding is there were more documents now that have been found, but nobody's talking about it. And here's the thing. Here's the question I keep asking, of this whole thing. Who's finding the documents and who's telling anybody? Because I'll guarantee you, I know these people. Their first thought, their first reaction is going to be, we need to run this through a shredder. We'll hide this. Can't let anybody know this is here. Joe Biden is surprised. I'm surprised there were any documents there. They were misfiled. How did you walk out of a skiff as a senator with documents? Now here's my take on this whole thing too. And this is why, while it upsets me and I think it's worth talking about, you can't have any hope at all, any thought in your head about this, that this is going to go anywhere. If you think there's going to be justice in this situation, if you think for a moment that somehow Joe Biden is going to be impeached or asked to resign, or he's going to resign over this whole thing, you're out of your mind. Now, he might resign because of physical issues or mental issues or whatever it is. He might be pushed out that way. But this guy, they live in denial. And apparently it's a river running through Washington, D.C. Because there's no way that all the fluff and all the stir up and the dust and all the stuff that's going on, this political football is being kicked around right now. You see all the squirming in the chairs from our representatives. Lindsey Graham was one of those people who used to squirm around in his chair and be all upset and talk about, this can't happen. His chair would wiggle around. He'd be wiggling around in his chair. He's, by the way, it's a very large belly, by the way. Not as big as, what is the guy's name? Guy who pooped his pants on stage and had to shuffle off. That guy's weird. He's like 3 feet tall, and he's not talking about Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham's a weasel. He's done some things that I don't think people have recognized or realized, and it doesn't get much press. But this guy has done some things that are
infuriating. Now he's come out and endorsed Donald Trump. Why? I have to ask, why has he come out and endorsed Donald Trump? Now, he has some reasons. He was on Sean Hannity, and he lost his earpiece, and we couldn't hear what Sean was asking. But he said, well, I heard enough of it. I think I know what your question was. So he went ahead and answered his question, but I couldn't hear him. Now, most of the time, these guys know what the questions are prior to. They rehearse this stuff, typically. They know what questions are going to be asked, or they know what statements they're going to be made. There's usually a briefing, a vetting before they have them on, typically. They're not just doing this stuff cold, typically. And so he comes on, he answers, he talks about this whole thing, and he's talking about how, you know, DeSantis is a great governor, and so-and-so is a good governor, or whatever. He talks about people I haven't even heard of. But then he comes out and says, you know, but why I'm supporting Donald Trump is because nobody else, but Trump has this particular, you know, he defines this and that, blah, 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 blah. He has all these reasons. Now, I know Lindsey Graham well enough to know he makes political moves like this to influence certain things. Are you aware that right before the midterms, on his own, with no sponsors, threw out a bill, a federal abortion ban bill? Played right into the hands of the abortion activists who were saying they're going to try to ban abortion federally. So he throws the thing out there. Supreme Court just ruled that it should be tossed back to the states and let the states decide, and he tries to put in a federal abortion ban bill. Why? It did nothing but add fuel to the fire and motivated the base on the left. Now here, and of course that doesn't really, here again, this is a whole other issue. The thing that really troubles me about this whole 1 month voting thing, early voting lasts for a month. Why do you suppose they like this? And I've tried to figure out all of the angles for this whole thing, why the early voting is so important to the left. And here's what it is. It gives them time. There's no way. I'm trying to figure out how would you do ballot harvesting without early voting? You can't do it. Mail-in ballots and early voting are the only way to accomplish ballot harvesting. And ballot harvesting is the only way they can win. And the Republicans haven't figured this out yet. Oh, we just want to go all vote. We'll all vote on the same day. Because that's how we're principled, and that's the way we're going to do it. And until the Republicans either fix that and get rid of this whole month-long voting thing, or get their act together and go out and start, quote, harvesting ballots, collecting ballots for people. Until they do that, It's going to be a downhill slide for us. Red states are going to turn purple and then blue. By the way, have you noticed? I don't know if you've ever noticed. There's some commentators once in a while. Occasionally they will wear a purple tie. You have to realize, most people in politics, a lot of pundits and a lot of other people in politics, they don't just randomly, oh, look at this. This tie is nice. I like goes with this outfit. I'm just going to wear that today. They are sending messages with the things that they put on and they wear. They will wear a certain tie. Bill Clinton wore a tie that Monica Lewinsky gave him when he went out and made a statement one time. It wasn't anything to do with, this is before he got caught. He wore the tie that she gave him. And she knew that was a signal
to him. This kind of stuff happens all the time. They have ways of communicating. And of course, they'll always say, well, you know, the DOJ doesn't talk to the White House. You know, they don't have their hands off. They let them do their own thing over there. They don't tell them what to do. I don't talk to Merrick Garland. I don't talk to him. Well, of course you don't, because you got people that can talk. There are back channels all over the place in Washington. I guarantee you the messengers are running around more than ever right now. They have to do that. You can't just send a text somewhere, because then all of a sudden those texts get confiscated, or they get, you know, somehow they get, somebody finds them somehow. I don't know how that all happens. How do you get voicemails off of Hunter Biden's voice message machine? We have Joe Biden leaving messages for Hunter Biden's. I think you're clear. Yeah, I saw the article piece. I think you're clear. Yeah. We got you off the hook on that one. So this is where we're good. This is the kind of stuff that goes on all the time. Anyway, so I hope that you've enjoyed my venting and my ranting this morning, because that's pretty much all I've done. Yeah. I was going to have some positive stories, but, you know, that doesn't seem to happen much. I hope that I can point out some of the stuff that's going on, because not to scare you, not to make you worried or upset or angry. That's not what the purpose of this is. The purpose of this is predominantly to make you aware, to expose what the enemy is doing. Now, realize, these people, it gets back to this whole thing of, you know, are these people evil? Well, are people evil? Or the choices that they make, the things that they do and say, can manifest evil. I don't know that. I think people are they the sum of their choices? Maybe sometimes. Or are they in the moment? Every moment. And who really is influencing whether or not they're in that, what state of mind they're in, where their heart is, what their intentions are, which is all, it can be so subjective on every field and every all the influence that happens around them. And I really believe that some people think that they're doing the right thing and they're full of this indignation, righteous indignation, which is unfortunately a lot of times self-righteous indignation. And what I'd like to point out is just the hypocrisy and the lack of awareness, the lack of self-awareness, or the lack of the ability to recognize what the real problem is so we can deal with it, so we can work on it together. It gets back to this whole thing of this race-baiting stuff. We throw people into groups, vilify them, or give them special rights because, you know, that vilified group over there is the problem. You get six cops beat up and end up injuring a guy so bad that he dies a few days later. They run to the race card. They're doing jumping jacks and all kinds of yoga moves to try to prove that this was a racial issue. It's a racial thing. It's white supremacy. And all the people involved were black. You had a black chief of police. The population of Memphis is 65% black. And it's white supremacy. Well, it's because the system, it's a systematic white. It's still because the white man made it happen. Oh yeah, this never happens in Africa. You'll never hear of cops beating up somebody, killing them in Africa.
Never hear about that. Never happens. And don't get me wrong. It's not about skin color, folks. It's about a culture that has been, I'd like to say, fertilized. And, you know, I think that so many of our nation's problems, of the world's problems, stem from a lack of fortitude among the leadership in the church. False doctrines and doctrines of demons finding their way in and establishing entire, complete denominations in some cases. I believe that in the culture of the, quote, black community, if you want to call it that, the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons of the world, who make their living off of this race-baiting stuff. If racism went away and there was reconciliation, they would lose their jobs and they'd lose their influence. They have to keep it fed. They have to keep it going. They don't want real healing in our nation. What would that look like? And how would it happen? I still contend and submit to you that the only way this is going to happen is when the black community, if you want to call it that, the black man out there, the black woman, those of color, people of color, the minorities, forgive, truly forgive the white man. Forgive the things that have happened to them in their past. I've heard plenty of leaders ask, you know, say that they're sorry and apologize. I have never heard that I can remember anyone offer forgiveness. Where is the church leader, the black man, the black pastor who will rise up, stand up and say, on behalf of the believers that I represent, I want to say that you are forgiven in Jesus' name, in the name of our Messiah who taught us to forgive. I've never heard that. I've never heard. Barack Obama didn't do that. It's not going to happen from reparations. Reparations will not stop this. It will only continue to bring the divide deeper because it will never be enough. There's never enough penance because they will just continue to add on even when it does, even when it's not there. Because that's the way they operate. They just continue to go down that road. And I believe that the theology at the foundation of all of this, in my opinion, it's just my opinion. I'm not a theological expert of the thing on the list of things I'm not. Black liberation theology is at the core, in my opinion, of the cultural problem that we face with the racial divide in this country. That's all I'm going to say about that. I need to draw the show to a close, as once again, I'm up against an hour. And for those of you who have a life to live, trying to wonder how you're going to get your hour back, I'll give your life back to you now. So it's going to close the show. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have some headlines tomorrow. Usually on Thursday, I try to bring up headlines, just kind of go through headlines. Reliable News Now. I typically go through all the stuff that's been going on with them all week. And then Friday, we just had the big wrap-up, and it's all going to be live. And hopefully have some people live listening. Last time, I had a few people in the room listening, making comments. You can find that on Podbean. It'll be live on Podbean. So there you go. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing, paying attention, being aware, praying for our nation and our nation's leaders, people.
Music's getting loud now. It's hard for me to talk. I'm trying to talk over this music here. It's getting loud. Hey, so turn it down. God bless everybody. Have a great week.